Hello, I'm Al Cooley, host of Ghost in the Valley. Before we get started with today's episode, I would like to announce the following change. My podcast will be available every other Tuesday. 3 or 4 months I've been asking for true ghost stories and leaving links at the bottom of the podcast where you can send your ghost stories or somebody you know who has a ghost story to one of these links. The following story is from a gentleman out of Shaker Heights, Ohio, not very far from where I live. It's a little southeast of Cleveland, Ohio, and his name is Rodney. He's asked me not to reveal his last name or his girlfriend's name other than Jane. I said, that's fine. I don't know if his girlfriend's name is Jane, but Rodney asked not to reveal her name or his last name. For all the years I've been doing ghost stories, I've done stories on ghosts, demons, but I never got a story on a seance type of story. And his is kind of related to a seance, but basically, he lost his girlfriend to the other side. I said, did your girlfriend pass? He said, no, she hasn't died physically to him, but mentally she has. Rodney met Jane at church. They both signed up for the choir. He said she was quite shy, kind of reclusive, kept to herself, and it took him 3 or 4 tries to get her to go out for coffee with him. And after another cup of coffee and another meeting, they decided to start dating. And said she was, her type of music was like Silson Cross, James Taylor, kind of softer rock, and Christian rock, but never ever on the wild side. As time went on, he started noticing more and more changes in Jane. They never went to her place. It was always his apartment. And she would always give a reason that she was remodeling, the heater wasn't working, or the water wasn't running. So there was always a reason why he was, like, never invited to her apartment. And that was fine with him. I mean, he was starting to fall in love with Jane. And that was a while back. But like I said, as time went on, as Rodney puts it, there was a drastic change in her behavior. And she stopped going to church. She dropped out of the choir. And he would ask her, is there something that the preacher said? Is there you going to a different church? And she said, have you ever heard of the Black Bible? He says, no. And she said, well, you know, there's more stories than what's in the Bible. That's only what they want you to hear. That's only what they want you to read. And he said, no, I never heard of that, nor do I believe in the, I mean, if there were stories, other stories, I believe they would have been in the Bible. She goes, no, that's not the case here. And that was the beginning of him starting to question maybe there's something more that was going on with her. Then he started noticing more of a, even in her style of music, a change from the Eagles to more gothic rock. Her nails were painted black, her hair was dyed black. She wore nothing but black. And it was really a big difference in her demeanor and everything. Her look, her attitude towards life, and even towards their relationship. And she would always say, "You're either with me or you're not." He says, "I'm with you, but I don't have to believe everything you believe." And she started to introduce him to more of her friends, and her friends were, as he put it, very strange. They also were into voodoo, witchcraft, and he never experienced anything like that before. As he put it, he's a good old boy with a good Christian upbringing. And that was something he wasn't familiar with. And she kept inviting Rodney to her. She said they were having seances every Friday night. They'd have a seance and bring back somebody in the inner circle. And he said, "What is the inner circle?" She says, "Well, haven't you ever been to a seance?" He goes, "No." She said, "Well, there's a circle that we sit and we hold hands, and the circle is very tight, and the circle believes in what we're doing. Like, you have to really focus on, say, if her friend Kathy wanted to bring back her great aunt from 30 years ago, then everybody would concentrate on her great aunt. And 9 times out of 10, she would appear." Well, Rodney's like, I really never heard anything like that. And she says, "This isn't really funny. Like I said, you're with me or you're not. And I'm really questioning our relationship." So as time went on, he gave in. "I'll agree to go to one of your seances, but I don't really want to be in the inner circle. Can I sit like out in the corner and just observe for the first couple of times?" And she says, "Oh, I get it. You're scared." Kind of made an excuse, like, yeah, he was, but he really didn't want to get into the inner circle. So he went to the seance. And one of the members of the seance are trying to bring back his brother. It's not working. They try it again. They're like sitting there, and there's a candle in the middle of the floor, and they're chanting something. He doesn't know what it is, but the brother's not coming back. So they finally, she stops the seance. She's, "Rodney, I believe this is your fault. This is strictly your fault." He said, "Why is that?" She goes, "Because you're not believing. You're not in the inner circle." James, the one they're trying to bring back his brother, said, "Well, let's try it one more time." And they sat there and they did it again. And this time, there was a man standing behind Jane that wasn't there before. And like an image of a man, like a ghost. And he goes, I'm here, James." Well, everybody started talking to James. James's brother looks right at Rodney and says, "I'm here for you, Rodney." Rodney says, "The hell with this." He got up and he was heading for the door. James's brother disappeared, and they're all looking at Rodney like, "Why is he here for you?" Rodney says, "I don't care. I don't give a damn. I'm out of here." But he couldn't get the door open. Like, the door was locked. one of the girls in the inner circle started walking towards him with these, just as he put it, devil eyes. Just started walking towards him, and she walks up to him, and reaches around him, and opens the door. And she says, bye. In other words, get out. From that time on, from that moment on, Jane really didn't want nothing to, she really didn't want nothing to do with Rodney. She said he wasn't, well, he said, well, if I'm not a believer, I seen someone at that seance that I'd never seen before. She said, you only seen a taste of what we've seen. You've only experienced a small smidget of what we've experienced. You haven't even been at the sacrificial offerings. And he's like, he didn't want to hear anymore, you know. It's like their relationship stopped at that moment. She ended up just basically what he's heard, you know, through friends and Jane's relatives, is she just has fallen off. She just lost it. She went off the deep end. And they trying to get her psychiatric help. And she claims she doesn't need any. She found her new father. And which Rodney seems to think her new father is the devil. But like he said, he's never been to a seance, nor does he plan on going to another one. And that was basically his story to me, was he lost his girlfriend to the other side. From a Christian, quiet, young lady to a mean, ruthless, scary bitch, as he called her. That brings me to one of the stories I did about 21 years ago on my documentary, Ghost in the Valley. Yeah, well, it was supposed to be on the documentary, and it was another story that I left off of the documentary. I got this phone call from a young lady that she sounded very sweet on the telephone, and she said she had a story to share with me, but she didn't want it on the video or on the DVD. And I was reluctant to go to her place, ask me what I thought if her house was haunted. I guess she thought I was a ghost hunter. And I decided to go out there and check it out. I went there, and the young lady that answered the door was the same person I talked to on the phone, but her demeanor had completely changed. And I said, are you the same person I just talked to on the phone? She goes, yes, but she's not here. I said, are you the same person? And she goes, yes. But she's not here. I'm like, what the hell? You know? So I go in the house, and the windows were open. The door, the front and the back door were open. All of a sudden, the door slammed shut. Both front and the back. And I thought, well, maybe it's just a wind blowing through, you know, because that can happen. I mean, front door, back door, slammed shut. And all of a sudden, the bottom of the floor that I'm standing on, there's like a pounding coming up at me. She goes, this is my life. Every day. I don't know how to escape this. But she was standing in a corner now with her arms crossed, just staring at me. Now, I didn't know if she was putting this on, and the person I had go with me to the house. Went downstairs to check out what was going on down there. Nobody was downstairs. But he said he felt a very eerie feeling being down there. So he come back upstairs. And the pounding started again. But this time it's very, very, like somebody with a sledgehammer was pounding the bottom of the floor. And she goes, "This is my life." Well, we both left. It's hard to say she put that on. You had to be there to see her. Either she was a very, very good actress, or it was very, very real. Well, anyway, it brought me back to that story, Rodney's story, that is. So I'm curious to hear what your take is on this. Give me your thoughts. And as always, if you have a ghost story or know somebody with a ghost story, you can contact me at cooley54@gmail.com. The links are at the bottom of this podcast. You can send me an email. You can email me to contact to get a phone number, or I can do a phone interview. Let me know what you think. Comments. Thank you. And I will see you in 2 weeks on Ghost in the Valley.